Well, good morning, everyone. We have been in this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5 for now, like 3 weeks, basically. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ in you. We talked about last week, we focused on verse 17, and this week we're going to focus on verse 18. But verse 17 was about pray without ceasing. This changes the way we have to think about prayer. Most of us think about prayer as happening before meals. Maybe they're words that we talk at God. We really wanted to see pray without ceasing is just an altogether different reality. It is basically living life with God. It is seeing Him in everything that we do. And we talked about some ways to help us be with God. And we talked about three ways in prayer that we can kind of get this sense in all of life that God is with us. But one way to help us be with God and be present to that reality is silence. In our prayer, to have times of silence. In our prayer, to have times with Scripture, to engage in Scripture. And then there's times of self-reflection. In all these ways, it can help us kind of understand this reality that we have that God is with us and that we are doing life with God. Again, these three phrases, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, just seems different. I mean, it's otherworldly. How are we supposed to give thanks in every circumstance? You know, for NC State fans, it's fresh for y'all. Yeah. How do we give thanks for Clemson? How do we, you know, we just saw a really sad movie last night, A Star is Born. Goodness, how do you, when you get a bad health report, when you get news from a family member, when your job looks like it's on the line, how do you give thanks in all circumstances? What is being talked about here? What is Paul telling this church of Thessalonians to be doing? And I think in all of these, rejoicing always, pray without ceasing, and finally today we're going to look at giving thanks. Paul is showing us this way to live in the reality of God and in His Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is showing us a new way to be human. A new path that the world so desperately needs, we so desperately need. This passage is really revolutionary. I'm going to jump in to this passage after we pray, but I really want to ask God to help us do three things this morning. I think we can give thanks always when we know three realities, and I don't mean know just intellectually. God is with you. He is good. And His love endures forever. When we know that reality, we can give thanks in all circumstances. So I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to ask God to use this time. For those of you who are new with us, I like pause a moment before I pray, so you might feel awkward. But I'm really asking God, I'm listening. And I'd ask you to just listen for a moment, and then I'll pray for us. God, would you help us see? Would you help us see you today? There are folks in this room that are just hurting. They have that bad news right in front of them. They're going through a family situation. God, I just don't know what's going on in this room, but you do. God, would you help us in this day to understand what it means to live lives that give thanks in every single circumstance? God, would you help us have like a tension with that reality? Where we know that just seems impossible. And so God, would you just break into what is that tension that we have? And would you reveal yourself to us? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to be focusing on verse 18. Okay, so we read verses 16, 17, and 18. Let me remind you of verse 18. Paul says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Today, we want to look at, hey, what does it mean to be a people of thanks, to live in thanksgiving, to live as thankful in every circumstance, in all circumstances? What type of life is this? What is Paul inviting the Thessalonians to do? And I want to tell you from the get-go, this is not going to be some sermon that tries to rose color, you know, the whole world and all its pain. You might have experienced great loss in your life, and maybe at a funeral or somebody, you know, you've been hurting and somebody just says the most, you know, flippant kind of, maybe something exactly like this. Hey, give thanks in every circumstance. You know, God's going to do something through this death in the family, this sickness that you're facing. And it's just, it doesn't match reality. Like, you're like, that just felt very insensitive. God's going to work all things together for the good for those. That's true. He's going to work all things together for the good who know him and love him. But they can be used, these verses can be used at like the worst moments. Giving thanks in all circumstances is not to be demanded of every person, okay? And here's what I mean by that. Thanksgiving can look different than what you think it does. Thanksgiving just can look really robust. I just think Jesus lived a life of thanksgiving. He lived a life of thanksgiving. We started this whole passage in Isaiah 53. Think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's asking God, if it's possible, would you take this cup from me? He is in excruciating pain. You know what? That can be a life of thanksgiving. Our suffering that we walk in our life does not just, we don't have to just pretend, you know, I'm happy, I'm good, I'm thankful. It doesn't need to be, it can be a deep and different looking thing than, again, maybe even what we thought prayer looked like last week, right? Prayer might look different than we think it is. If it's pray without ceasing, prayer might look a lot different than you think it does. Thanksgiving might look a lot different than you think it does as well. Paul is going to give us a robust teaching here about what it looks like to be thankful always. He is not just saying, again, at all times, you have to sound a very certain way that sounds like a Hallmark card or that sounds like a kids' television Disney show. It's like everybody's, yay, everybody, hey, I'm happy Christian. I'm not going through a divorce. My family's, you know, not having major problems right now. That is not what God's doing here. That is not what God's telling us how to walk. Jesus Christ has shown us the perfect way to walk this passage. And it is when we turn our eyes to Jesus Christ that we understand how we can be thankful in every single circumstance. I want to read for you just a passage that I think is very, very robust in this type of teaching. This is from Paul. This is in 2 Corinthians. He is writing this passage to a church that is going through a lot of suffering, and he's going to bring them into his life of suffering, but he's going to tie it into Thanksgiving here in an interesting way. So let me read this for you. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's verses 7 to 18. Paul says this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show us that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Man, what a thought. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Now listen to this. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Do you see the complexity in those words there? At the beginning, he's talking about his ministry. Like, his body is like a jar of clay. This is what every single item in the Roman, or a lot of items in the Roman world came in. I heard it described really well as it was kind of like a sandwich wrapper or a hamburger box from McDonald's. Everything you got in this jar of clay is a very weak thing. And he's like, we've got this gospel, we're bringing it to you. And what was his life? How could you look at his life? Man, he's persecuted, he's beaten, he's crushed. He's got a lot of suffering going on in his life. But did you see how he even says it kind of results in, as more and more people come to know Christ, there's this thanksgiving that starts growing. Our pain, our suffering, our lives can look like suffering. And he even mentions the death of Jesus is in our bodies, so that life can be happening. He talks about that division. Our outer bodies, what are they doing? Wasting away. But not our inner bodies, not our inner selves. Oh no, not our inner selves. We are renewed. We are being renewed day by day. He tells these people, you are being renewed even when death is at work in you, even when your future is unsure, even when you have the bad report, even when your job seems uncertain or lost, even in all of the difficulties of life. There's something that is unseen. He says the unseen reality is eternal. And it is the unseen, it is God himself that is renewing us day by day. You know, there's just so many things in this world that are unseen that are incredible. You can't see how much you might be able to see the way I smile at my wife, but you can't see my love for my wife. I can't see it. You can't see it with my three kids. There's the unseen world is a world that we need to consider. To give thanks in all circumstances, we need to invite ourselves into the reality of the unseen. You need to know God is with you. Can you see that? He is renewing you. He is good. He is preparing you. His steadfast love will never leave you. His love is preparing you. It is renewing you. The unseen is what changes us. It's the unseen realities. This is why I think these three verses, to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, the center of those phrases is pray without ceasing. This happens in prayer. This happens when we take times of silence, when we look in scripture, when we're in times of self-reflection. This happens, the center of this happens in the reality of prayer, living a life of prayer, where we see God in all things, in all places, in everything we're doing. It allows us to enter into spaces where sufferings happen and not try to fix them. When someone gets a bad report, it allows us just to sit with them and be with them. To kind of look for the unseen reality, though we are wasting away, we are not wasting away. We are being renewed day by day. Paul offers this incredible reality of we are being renewed by our Savior day by day. And he just says, I want to read it one more time, verses 16 through 18. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We are being prepared for an eternal weight of glory. That is good news. We are being prepared for an eternal weight of glory. One day we will step into eternity, and our faith will turn into sight. We will now no longer have the need for faith. We will see. And oh, what a day. The weight of that, I want to know. And the eternal weight of glory presses through eternity and into this world. It presses into it. We can experience the reality of God now, here and now. It will be by faith. It will not be by sight. But in the now, we can experience this, the beginnings of the weight of glory, that weight of love that is crossing from eternity down into ourselves. It is what renews us day by day. And the way we do that is we walk with God every moment, every circumstance, without ceasing. We pray, we rejoice in that reality. What reality? It's the reality of Isaiah 53 that we read today. Of the Messiah that came to enter into our suffering. The man of sorrows. The one who came to take our sin and our grief. Living a life of thanksgiving looks like just noticing that he might be with you in every season. In every moment, our God has, in all circumstances, God is with you. He has seen every single deed, every single thought, every motive of your entire life. He has been there with you. He has seen it all, and his love has never stopped for you. Why can we give thanks in all circumstances? Because he's with us in every single circumstance. And every time we've blown up, every time we've committed a sin, every time we've loved, every time we've done anything, he has been there. He has seen it and he has loved us. He has never left us or forsaken us. Do you understand this? He is with you. He is good and he loves you. These are the realities. He has always been there. He will always be there. For those of you who do not know him, I invite you to open your eyes to his heart towards you this morning. He is here. He is right with you. You find when you become a Christian, you really do find God never left you. You're just coming back. You're the one coming back to him. And today we invite you to that reality, to come back to God. The God who has never left you. The God who is in every single circumstances, every single abuse, every single hurt, every pain, every sin, every sorrow, every suffering. He has been there. And not only has he been there, he took your grief. He took your sorrow. He took your sin. What a God. What a thanksgiving. That can just look so different than the way we may just naturally think about thanksgiving. When Paul writes this, I really think he has in the back of his mind Psalm 136. Psalm 136 is a psalm of thanksgiving. It is a psalm that all the people of Israel would have known. And it communicates the reality of God in the lives, in every moment of the lives of the people of Israel. The psalm itself walks you from creation through the people of Israel's story in slavery, through their redemption from slavery, through God putting them in the land, the promised land of Israel. Psalm 136 is a map of God's love over the history of Israel. And today I want to do something a little different. I want us to consider God's love for you. I'm going to read this passage, or my wife and I are going to read this passage. We just want you to close your eyes and let this scripture be read over you and for you to consider how God is working in your story, in your life. It might be a little awkward, because we don't normally close our eyes in the midst of a service. But we want you to, in this time of reading, listen to God's love for you. after this, I'm going to come up with some instructions because I want us just to take a moment for us to be thankful. But what we're going to do is we're going to read this passage and we're going to sit in it in silence after we read for about a minute, which I know for a lot of us, we don't sit in silence. It can be a little awkward. Well, let's do that this morning. If you would you close your eyes with us?
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever.
To him alone does great wonders. For his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever, and brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever, and killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever.
It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Why do we give thanks to the Lord? He is good. And his steadfast love endures forever. You'll note in this psalm, they even name their enemies. Pharaoh comes up. There's some lines where it's just their enemy kings are named. I would like each of you to consider for a minute. What line in your life are you at right now? Did you notice how the psalm walked through all of Israel's kind of life? And at every line, there was an interjection of God's love that was upon every line of their story. Would you take 2 minutes to consider the current line of your life? Let's take 2 minutes. And if you have a pen and paper, you could write it out. What's your current line of your life? We're going to sit in silence again, 2 minutes. This morning, I want you to give that line of your life to the God that cannot be seen, the unseen reality of his love towards you. In the midst of Israel's story, their whole story. You know what overwhelms the story in Psalm 136? The steadfast love of the Lord. It dominates everything. Some of you are not experiencing that love this morning. And for that, it breaks my heart. That's our struggle. I don't experience that every day. And I am here to tell you, I want to read these verses over us this morning. These last verses of Psalm 36. Listen to this. This is for all of you in your line. You have your line of your life. It is He who remembered us in our low estate. For His steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes. For His steadfast love endures forever. He gives food to all flesh. For His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever. We are commanded to give thanks in all circumstances. We're not supposed to give thanks for all circumstances. It's in all circumstances, because you know what? For He is good, and His steadfast love endures for all all generations. That thanksgiving is so rich. It is so deep. It goes in the highs of our life and the lows of our life. And interestingly, those can happen at the same time. We understand that there's a lot of complex things happening in our lives. God's thanksgiving can meet us where we're at. We can give thanks because He is with us. He is good. And His love endures. It never quits. Never stops in our lives. Amen. This week, would you read like Psalm 136 a lot? Just read it and try to think of your story. That's just, I want to give you something this week. Read Psalm 136 and think of Israel's story, but think of your story and let that line of His steadfast love dominate your life. Let's just sit in that this next week. Sit in the love of God over our lives. Would you take that line that you grabbed this morning and bring it to Him? And invite Him to see, I mean you to see Him in the midst of that. Let's pray. God, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for this time that we had. God, I pray that this morning that every person in this room would understand Your greatness and Your love towards them this morning. In whatever situation they find themselves, God, we know You are there. Jesus, would You help us do this? Holy Spirit, would You empower us from within? And Father, just show us Your delight in us. It's in Jesus' name that we make this prayer. Amen.